My throat is not very strong, so I need you to work with me and to feedback some questions. I'll be a little bit easier. Advent is a time of waiting. So, who likes waiting? Hands up. I asked that question wrong, didn't I? I'll try again. Who likes waiting? No one! We don't like waiting. Okay, so what sort of things are you waiting for right now? What sort of things are we waiting for? This is where I need you to feedback. It's not us. Go on. Waiting for lunch. Waiting for this to be over. Thank you. Yes. It's not quite ready yet, so you'll be okay. It's not reached burning point. What are we waiting for? What sort of things are we expecting? Christmas! Now, last week, people say November is too early for Christmas, and now we're first Advent, 4 Sundays, and you might begin to think, oh no, there's only 4 Sundays left before Christmas. So we're waiting for Christmas, and that takes up a big part of the next few weeks. What else might we be waiting for? Sorry? For summer! Oh, I've got bad news for you. We've got a long wait for summer. The good news, it's going to come. It will be summer again. There'll be a time when we won't be wearing our scarves and coats, and we'll be all in shorts and t-shirts and putting on sunscreen again. That time will come. It will happen. Doesn't feel like it though, does it? It feels so cold. We're waiting for summer. Anything else that we're waiting for? That will be nice, won't it? Or will that be nice? That will be
nice.
Taking the Lord's message into schools. Open the book. We'll be very soon taking the first assemblies into St. Francis School and into King Charles School. It's a very exciting time for us as a church, and a especially exciting time for those involved in the team. What has caused you to wait for the longest? Ooh, a deeper question now. What have you caused you to wait for the longest? So Christmas, well, we know that's 4 Sundays in a few days. Summer, we know that's going to be 5 months or so. What's caused you to wait longer than 5 months?
Wait for a baby.
A baby to born. That's 8 to 9 months, depending on when you got the news. Or maybe a bit longer if you have been planning it for a long time. And that can be quite a painful wait, can't it? Having to wait for a baby and it doesn't come. What other things? Has anyone got any longer than 9 months?
Patience.
Patience. It never comes, does it? Here's a little secret. Don't ask God to give you patience. Because his usual answer is, just a minute. Yeah. Yeah, that does take a lifetime, patience. I learned patience. It's a little secret. I learned patience. I was 17. And my mum was a counsellor, and sometimes one of the perks she got as a counsellor was to go to civic functions, and I got to go with her. And we were sitting right next to the mayor. And I can't remember what the show was. It was quite exciting, but it wasn't always that exciting. And the mayor was able to sit very still through the whole show. And that taught me a lot about patience. And it was that it will end. I will be here forever. It will end. And that stilling that I observed in that mayor was quite a moment in helping me to deal with patience. And if Mum's listening onto the internet, hello Mum. And if you want to listen to this again, it is available on the internet. So that's patience, that's waiting. It can be learned, but we have to really still ourselves down and slow ourselves down to be able to enter into that time. We almost stop time within ourselves so that the long time around us almost disappears. Does that make sense? That if we slow ourselves down, then the long time around us becomes shorter, as it were, and is able to endure those moments that we might rather not be in. And that's very much what I was wanting to talk about tonight, this morning rather. It's dark, it's cold, night time. And it's what Advent is all about. We've got our first candle lit, the candle of the prophets. The prophets pointing to Bethlehem. The prophets pointing toward the birth of Jesus. We've changed our colours to purple, and Jeffy's wearing purple for us, because it's a reminder that Advent is a different time. It's a special time. Purple is a royal colour. Something royal is going to happen. Purple is a serious colour, and something serious is going to happen. Today's reading from Jeremiah was at a time of great turmoil. Jeremiah's story, I love Jeremiah's story. First of all, he was called when he was a teenager. And he said, I can't tell the people, I'm too young. And so Jesus, God touched his lips and said, there you go, you can do it. And Jeremiah's life was spent telling people what to do. And people spent Jeremiah's life not listening to him. And he continued to tell the people what God wanted to say to the people. To start off with, Jeremiah could see that the Babylonians were going to come and take over the Hebrew land. And he knew that because of the people had turned away from God, and that God wasn't going to protect him. God's protection was not there. People had turned away from him, didn't want God in their lives. Fine. God stepped out. And Jeremiah was saying to people, look, you've got to be different. This is going to happen. Prepare to be invaded. And they didn't listen to him. They told them to be quiet. Stop being so miserable. Stop panicking the people. And they did all sorts of things, tearing up his prophet, the things he said. They hit him and beat him up. They threw him into prison. They threw him down a great big well, a dry well, and left him there to die. And told him to stop being miserable. And then, of course, what he said came true. And the people are now feeling helpless, without God, without hope. And so then Jeremiah comes up, he says, don't worry, it's not always going to be like this. It's changed his tune now. And he buys a field, he says, look, I bought this field, this is your sign, there is hope. And of course, when they're being invaded, the price of fields is going to hit rock bottom, because no one's going to want to buy fields if they're going to be taken away and taken over by the Babylonians. So he buys it and he says, look, there is hope. And then we have this prophecy that was read to us. The good branch. I will make a good branch sprout from David's family. He will do what is fair and right in the land. At that time, Judah will be saved, and the people of Jerusalem will live in safety. The branch will be named, the Lord does what is right. Or the Lord is my righteousness. And so you have this beautiful promise that people are going to be taken into Babylonia. They're going to be slaves. They're going to be far from their own land. They're going to be made to sing happy songs, but they'll have no happy songs inside them. And before they're taken away, Jeremiah is saying, God will save you. We understand the fulfillment of that, the branch of David. It's a promise that David, King David, one of the greatest kings in the Jewish history, that kingdom will continue. And as Christians, we understand that at the day when Jesus was born, a tiny baby infant. And so our first candle pointing to Jerusalem, we can see it here in these passages. 600, or nearly 600 years ago, after the prophecy was said, Jesus is born. That's quite a long time to wait, isn't it, for the people who heard Jeremiah's message to the time when Jesus was born. In fact, most of those people, I'm sure you might agree with me, all of those people weren't there to see it happen. And yet that promise carried through the generations to a time when it was written and kept as this is God's promise to us, and to then the time when it's fulfilled in Jesus. So it's a promise. It's a promise for the people that that Jeremiah was speaking to directly. It was a promise for the people when they were in Babylon, away from their own country. It was a promise when the people came back and were able to rebuild their own country again. It was a promise for the people waiting for the time for God to break back into the world in a big way. And so we come on to Jesus' words. And the discourse that we heard today that I read to you, it comes after what, if you were here last week, you'd have heard about Jesus saying about the temple and the destruction of the temple. And Jesus is talking about, as we often understand, of the end times, when things will be really, really bad, and that Jesus will come back and that'll be the end of it. That's quite good. The people that Jesus was speaking to, they're expecting those end times to happen quite quickly. And the destruction of Jerusalem was around 64 AD, is that right? 70. And the fall of Rome became, you know, when the Roman's empire was fall. Rome. Looking for my experts. When did Rome fall, the Roman kingdom?
Oh, God, it must have been
4th century. 400 years before the Roman Empire disintegrated. And the people then must have felt, that was the end, this is it. This is when Jesus is coming back. And yet we've been through so many other periods that you can ask Charles for. And he'll tell you all about the Normans, about the Vikings, not in that order, and so forth. And so the story continues that we are waiting for this promise that Jesus says, that when he comes back in the clouds in glory. And Advent points us to Christmas. And Christmas is pointing us towards this other time. We're always waiting, and none of us like waiting. We find that out. And they both talk about waiting through suffering. And waiting through suffering is the hardest waiting. Waiting to get Christmas presents. Well, I can do that. Waiting for the end of November before shave off my moustache. I couldn't do that. It had to come off. Waiting for good things we can do. Waiting through difficulty is much more difficult. And that was what was being asked in the Old Testament and in the New Testament readings, that waiting through suffering, because suffering is a part of life. And we all have our things that we go through that causes us pain, that causes us difficulty. And how we wait through that makes a big difference to our personal lives during that time. And that's the good news. The good news is that God promises it's not always going to be like this. Summer will come. The baby will be born. Jesus will return. God will put all things right. When we're suffering, it can cause us lots of different emotions and lots of different feelings. When we're praying for something and it doesn't happen, that will then create lots of feelings within ourselves, and will create feelings how we feel about God, how we feel about prayer. And the Bible is full of those feelings. It's full of anger. It's full of frustration. It's full of pain, and especially in the Psalms, it's all there. The people have gone through it before us, and we're going through it sometimes now, and we know of a lot of suffering in our world as we speak. There's suffering around us. But if we can hold on to the hope, firstly, holding on to the hope just it says it's true and I'm going to do all my best to believe it's true. And if we can hold on to that and meditate upon that hope, it then can become a hope in our hearts. And so not only do we know it's true in our heads, we actually feel it's true in our hearts. And that can help us through some difficult times. So Advent is a comfort to us in our time of discomfort. It points us the way through the difficulty to a time of promise, to a time that things will be different, to a time when things are put right. But Advent is also a challenge to us when we're in a time of comfort. Because when things are comfort for us, it doesn't mean, and it won't mean, that things are comfortable for everybody else. There are people in pain around us. God came to be with us in our discomfort. Therefore, if we are followers of God, we follow God into places of discomfort, to the people that are hurting, to the people that have nothing, to the people that can't give anything to us, and to be God in those places. Not to tell them what they should do. What you should do is eat more greens. I don't know if that's helpful enough. But we're not there to go and wag our fingers at people. We're there to go and comfort those that are hurting, to put our arms around the person, to take care of their immediate needs. And that alone can show so much of God's love. Advent is a time of waiting. But in that time of waiting, so much beauty can happen. Let us pray.